From NPR News, it's All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Robert Siegel. In the early 1960s, the name Afghanistan earned a place in a pejorative that was hurled at certain newspapers. Papers that ducked tough issues at home but went on at length in trenchant pieces about faraway places practiced Afghanistanism. Afghanistan connoted the remote and the barely relevant. No longer. And to learn more about the people who live there, we've called on Surin Malikian of the International Herald Tribune, who's a cultural historian of the region. Mr. Malikian, you've written that among the many divisions that separate Afghanis, one is most important and that one is least understood.
Yes, indeed. It's the one that separates those who speak Pashto and the Dari speakers or Persian speakers, who are probably the great majority in the country. No one has really any accurate statistics.
Does the linguistic divide, this most important division, does that parallel a geographical division? That is, are all of the Pashto speakers in one part of Afghanistan and all of the Dari or Persian speakers in another part of Afghanistan?
No, originally, yes. Originally, the Pashto speakers were the inhabitants of the southeastern lands. But in the 1930s, there was a policy which tried to scatter the Pashtuns all over the country. The result is that you have small groups of Pashtuns in other parts of Afghanistan, many of whom tended to become Persianized in a natural process. And you've got another cleavage, the Turkic speakers, the Turkmens, the Uzbeks, and the small number of Kazakhs in the north of the country. When they communicate with other communities, they tend to use Persian as the intercommunal language.
Now, Americans hear quite a bit now about the Northern Alliance, which has been fighting with, holding out against, on the other hand, the Taliban.
Yes.
Is the Northern Alliance on the one hand, and is the Taliban on the other hand, drawn from one particular class or language group of Afghanistan as opposed to the other?
The Northern Alliance includes Persian speakers and Turkic speakers, essentially. But the Northern Alliance, in its present condition, is a much reduced version of what once existed, when you would have had virtually all the Persian speakers and the Turkic speakers banding together.
And the Taliban?
The Taliban are exclusively drawn from the Pashto speakers, but more specifically, I should emphasize, from the mountainous areas in the southeast. They seem to represent a small group and probably have a very limited following within the country.
So you're saying that the idea of the Afghanis not being led by the Taliban wouldn't, at least in terms of regional or ethnic or linguistic divisions in that country, that's not unreasonable. This is a minority regime in those
senses. It's not even a minority regime. It's a tiny minority regime which is resented by a great many Pashtuns themselves, which makes them very much a minority regime.
As I understand it from what you're saying, the Persian speakers in Afghanistan might look toward Iran for some kind of cultural affiliation, obviously linguistic affiliation.
Yes, yes.
There are Turkic speakers in the north who would find compatriots in the what used to be Soviet republics.
In Uzbekistan, in Turkmenistan, but who are very different from the Soviet Turkmens and Uzbeks.
Where then would the Pashtuns, where would they see some kindred spirits outside the borders of Afghanistan?
Well, they are probably greatly to be pitied at this very moment, because the Pashtuns who do not see eye to eye with the Taliban have no one to expect any help from.
What would Afghanis of various different minority groups within the country make of the non-Afghani Saudi exile Osama bin Laden?
They would probably look at him with great distaste. There is a very ancient tendency towards hostility between the Iranian world at large, no matter who they are, and curiously the Arab world. Even though the Iranian world went over to Islam and adopted it eventually, very deeply, the Arabs are still remembered, paradoxically, as invaders. And a priori, somebody speaking Arabic and dressing in the way these people do and behaving as they do would be looked at with eyes filled with surprise. I mean, they must be like Martians arriving on Earth.
Surin Malikian, thank you very much for talking with us today.
Not at all.
Cultural historian Suren Malikian is the art editor of the International Herald Tribune.